Nox sicut dies illuminabitur. This is the night of which it is written, the night shall be light as day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear canons, Monsieur l'Abbé, dear sisters, dear members of the Society of the Sacred Heart, dear faithful, some of us have been present at the ceremony known as the Easter Vigil for quite some time. Indeed, for certain among us today, it might even be our 95th Easter Vigil. Who knows? What we know is that however far back we may be able to remember coming to this ceremony, whatever time of day it might have been, those of us I know who remember back to the old parish days of St. Mary's have told me that it was once celebrated quite early this Saturday morning. But what we know is that, at least from the early Middle Ages onward, the ceremonies of Holy Saturday were as we celebrate them today, ending with the first vespers of Easter. The fact that the sun had not in fact set did not trouble priest or people as they entered the dark church, especially in the days before electricity. On this, our Passover, the night is different from all others. Whereas the deacon has sung as he blessed the Easter candle in the Exultet, Nox sicut dies illuminabitur. This is the night of which it is written, the night shall be light as day. What I can say, dear flock, is that there is no place I would rather be than with you to celebrate what is for me the most important of anniversaries this night. 28 years ago, I leaned down my head upon the sacred font and received the saving waters of baptism and became a son of Holy Mother Church. No, I was not an especially agile infant. I was a young adult, entering the church by my own choice. But with all I had yet to learn from my later discovery of the sacred liturgy, from seminary, and from the good example of Catholics like you, I might as well have been a wailing babe. Today we celebrate this Easter Vigil not only as it would have been known in the Middle Ages, but even as it would have been known by those first pagans coming into the church during the Age of Martyrs. This is why we have the very long beginning to this ceremony, the 12 prophecies. They were for the instruction of those about to be baptized. The theme of water in the prophecies figures most prominently. But it is remarkable to note, as we perhaps do not often note enough, how much we are brought back to the theme of wood and fire that greeted us at the entrance of the church. In the prophecies that follow the blessing of the Easter fire and the lighting of the Easter candle, we hear of the creation of light, of trees sprouting forth, and then being cut down to build the ark of salvation, then wood for the sacrifice, after those 8 persons first came forth from the ark, and then wood for sacrifice once again, carried on the shoulders of young Isaac. We hear of the wood which crossed the doors of the Hebrews and was smeared with the blood of the sacrificial lamb. We hear of the ash of fire, which serves as the garments of penance for those who shall be renewed by the sacraments of Christ. Finally, we hear of the wood which fuels the fiery furnace. The 12th and final prophecy is sung in a tone of great jubilation, at the sound of which, year after year, I never cease to be in awe. It is an exhortation to those who almost certainly would have had to die for their newfound faith. We hear of the king, Nebuchadnezzar, who in a furious rage commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought forth to sacrifice to his idol. And then they refused, saying, "We have no need to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known to thee that we will not serve thy gods or worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then that king was full of fury, and the expression of his face was changed against these three men. And he ordered that furnace heated 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he ordered certain men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their mantles, their tunics, their hats, and other garments, and were cast into the burning fiery furnace. What of their persecutors, those who found it easier to serve an earthly ruler than the law of God? We hear, because the king's order was strict and the furnace was very hot, the flame of that fire slew those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes, we are told that those who go along to get along in this world of persecution will perish with it. But those three men fell bound into the fiery furnace, and they walked in the midst of the flame, praising God and blessing the Lord. In the rite of holy baptism, which immediately follows this 12th prophecy, the following exorcism is pronounced when those are baptized. "Surely it is no secret to thee, Satan, that punishment is thy lot, torments thy portion, that the day of judgment threatens thee, that day of never-ending torture, that day that shall be like a flaming furnace, in the midst of which everlasting perdition awaits thee and thy apostate angels. Therefore, accursed one, deservedly doomed, pay homage to the living and true God. Pay homage to Jesus Christ, his Son, and to the Holy Ghost, the Advocate." We cannot escape the terrifying truth of this night that shines as day. A fiery furnace awaits all of us. It will either be the furnace of everlasting perdition, prepared for the devil and his angels, or the furnace of momentary martyrdom, prepared for all those who refuse to cooperate with the prince of this world and to save their skin in the short run. We are all here to be counted among the faithful of Christ, among those whom he shall draw unto himself. We affirm a mystery of faith. By your Easter communion, you reaffirm the promises of your baptism, the very ones I made with my own lips 28 years ago. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born into this world and who suffered for us. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Affirming those things does indeed require faith. To believe in a God who is almighty, but also a loving Father. To believe that he is one God in three divine persons. To believe that the second person of that blessed Trinity, true God like the other two persons, took flesh from a virgin and became true man. To believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, won back for us by his passion and death the grace and eternal life we had lost by sin. To believe that if we belong to Jesus Christ by his church and sacraments and persevere in his grace, we will rise again glorious at the end of the world and have eternal life. All this is beyond the reach of human reason alone. It must come to us by hearing and be accepted by a mind and will aided by grace. But tonight we begin to commemorate the greatest event of history. Jesus of Nazareth truly lived and taught was crucified under Pontius Pilate, died and was buried. 3 days later, his tomb was found empty. The story almost seems to end there this night. These are the words that resound from the gospel we have just heard. Non est hic. He is not here. The acolytes have processed for the gospel just as they did for mournful Good Friday, without their candles. And the Blessed Sacrament has not yet returned to the church. On Holy Saturday, we are still in expectation. The Blessed Virgin Mary alone was unwavering in her faith during these hours. She alone, remembering the wondrous events of her son's childhood, said in her Immaculate Heart, "I know he is gone these 3 days, but I do not seek him. He is about his Father's business." This is the faith we are called to imitate this night. Every Easter, we must remind ourselves and all we meet that the resurrection is not a feeling. It's a fact. It is not just another article of faith. It is the proof of all the articles, the one reality upon which they all depend. St. Paul proclaims, "If Christ is not risen, your faith is vain." If there is no resurrection, we are the most pitiable of all men. If there is no resurrection, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Our faith is not vain. And after our Lenten fast, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we live. We celebrate the greatest truth of our faith, the one fact upon which all human reality is based. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and has given life to all those who are in the tomb. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.